are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you on this Friday edition, and we're back on Fridays, 5 days per week through the season here on Locked On 49ers, bringing you podcasts daily here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And today, my guest, Chris Clark, he is the co-host of Locked On Chiefs, so a little crossover episode today. Looking ahead to Saturday's Week 3 preseason contest. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we are everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock, email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. You can find the stream of the podcast, where to subscribe, and other articles, including the latest from Chris Wilson, LockedOn49ers.com, breaking down maybe why Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't quite to blame for his 1-for-6, 0.0 passer rating performance in week 2 of the preseason. And now, let's cross it over. My guest today is Chris Clark. He is the co-host of Locked On Chiefs, doing big things over there, covering the Kansas City Chiefs. We were just talking off the air about how popular his show is in December and January when his team is on a playoff run, unlike my show that peaked just prior to playing the Chiefs in week 3 last year, and people got a little bit sad after that Jimmy Garoppolo ACL injury. And it's very interesting that it's come full circle now. It was week 3 last year that Jimmy Garoppolo went down in Kansas City, now week 3 of the preseason this year, that he's back on that same turf. And Jimmy Garoppolo himself said today that it is definitely a marker for him to go in there and sort of defeat that stadium and actually play well, because we saw him not play so well in that first preseason game, get a full half of work, and hopefully he looks like he's ready to go for the regular season, because this is it. Is two quarters enough to get him ready for the regular season? But Chris, Garoppolo aside, and we'll talk more about that Kansas City turf, former Chief D. Ford is now a San Francisco 49er.
How you feeling about that?
I think it was a great addition, a great pickup. The 49ers went all in for both Nick Bosa and D. Ford, and they needed that pass rush this year, and it was so important, and they had to go after it, so I was on board with both of those decisions. And he's dealing with a little bit of a knee tendonitis issue right now. D. Ford himself said it's something he's gone through, and I wanted to ask you about that. Is this something that, and I know he's missed some time dating back to his Auburn days, but he said it's not a big deal. It's something that just gets a little bit painful in training camp. He works through it, and then he's ready to go. First of all, the knee, is that something that crept up on him often? I know he has had some injuries with the Chiefs, and aside from that, what kind of a person and player did the 49ers get in D. Ford?
You know, I think if you look at D. Ford, he has an injury history. When it comes to knee, I don't really know that I saw that often. It was more back injuries. There certainly was times where, you know, they said that he was having a knee issue, but it was really never discussed as to what it was specifically, so we didn't really know you know, what kind of knee issue it was. Was it, you know, a strain or what? But it sounds like it's a tendonitis issue, which is a big deal when you're signing somebody to a long-term deal. You know, when you look at how that trade happened, it made sense to me that he was never going to be in Kansas City long-term. It made sense to me that they tagged him with the intention of trading him. So it didn't surprise me when he got traded. And the fit makes sense for San Francisco. They're running a little bit of a different defense than Kansas City is. So that makes a lot of sense as well. And he's basically your second pass rusher, because you have to expect that they're going to be using Nick Bosa in that number one pass rushing role. What type of player are you getting? You're going to get somebody that, if he's healthy, can get after the quarterback, but that's the question. And the other question I have, and I don't have a great answer for this, and we won't really see it until, you know, this season plays out, is he still going to be the same player he was last year? Because he wasn't that same player the couple of years before that. It looked like he was playing for a contract, and now he's got the contract.
Yeah, that's interesting. It was definitely a career year for him, and he graded off the charts from a production standpoint. If you look at the PFF numbers, he had an awesome season, and the fact that they were willing, the Chiefs were, to move on from him made me think, okay, well, what are they seeing that they could, because pass rushers are gold in this league, especially the guys that are coming off the edge. And my question with D Ford, and maybe the best way to use him actually, is to not worry so much about first downs, is to make sure he's healthy and maybe limit his pitch count per se and get him on the field on third downs every time rather than have him out there bashing heads with guys. And the 49ers are going to have, I think, more of a heavy rotation on the defensive line than they have in the past. And they brought Chris Kocurek in from the Detroit Lions, and they're doing the wide nine front now. So he's going to be a little bit widened out on the defensive end there on the opposite side from Nick Bosa. And I think there's going to be a heavy rotation. So to me, it's like, leave him off the field on first downs, then bring him in and have him go after the quarterback, and that will maximize his productivity and maybe keep him a little bit healthier. Is that sort of how they did it in Kansas City with him, or was he an every down player for you guys?
He was an every down player for Kansas City, but that's the reason I don't think he fit in Kansas City long term, because they're not going to play wide nine. They're not going to play a 4-3 style where they're playing wide nine. They're going to play, you know, in closer. And D Ford's really not a great run defender. He just isn't. He has great pursuit from the backside when they're not blocking him. I mean, he has great speed getting around the corner, trying to, you know, tracking down the running back from the backside, but he is not a run defender at all. And if they want to run at you, he is not going to be somebody you're going to be wanting on the field every single down. So that would make a lot of sense to put him in on second and third downs, you know, when you know there's going to be a pass. But my question to you, if you do that, is it really worth the investment that you made? I really can't see this being a long-term deal if that's the way they're going to use him, especially for the money they're paying him.
I think the money right now doesn't matter as much because they had plenty of space and it was such a glaring need. It was almost something that they had to do, and he was by far the best option. So to me, the money doesn't matter, and you're not paying him to be a run defender. And the 49ers personnel-wise are in a great spot to do that if they decide to do a rotation like we've talked about, because they've got Arik Armstead and they've got Solomon Thomas out there that can be run defending defensive ends, and those guys can both move inside and move around and pass rush from different locations. To me, if he's healthy and he's rushing off the edge and he's collecting sacks and getting after quarterbacks on obvious passing downs, I have no problem with the money they're paying him, and he doesn't need to defend a single run as far as I'm concerned. And so the 49ers have other players that can do that and mix and match. And so that's going to be interesting once he does get on the field and we see how that rotation on the defensive line is. And from a money perspective, long term, at some point, if Nick Bosa hits and he's a smashing success and maybe the 49ers are able to develop some other guys in the next year or two behind those guys, then maybe long term, you don't want to pay him in 2021. But right now, they've got plenty of room under the cap. It was such a glaring need. I have no problem with how much they're paying him and what they had to give up to get him.
Just say, I know Kansas City's happy with the compensation they got back, and I just know that they wouldn't have paid him the contract that you guys gave him. But I understand your perspective, and I know the 49ers are in a much different cap situation than Kansas City is.
Yeah, and I think it happens that way with premium positions too, whether it's edge rushers or quarterbacks. We saw it with Kirk Cousins. It's like, when you don't have them, it's like, I will pay anything to get this position on my team because we have to have it. And then when you have that guy, you're thinking, oh man, do we really need to pay all this for this guy? Maybe we can try to upgrade here. So it's a very interesting situation with pass rushers and quarterbacks and those premium positions, because when you don't have it, it's like, man, we're not a competent unit without this position. So I'm fine with it, and we'll see long term how it goes, but I have no problem with it. And I understand kind of from both sides, I think it's really a win-win deal for the Chiefs and the 49ers.
Yeah, and I can see that from a Chiefs perspective, and I can see it from the 49ers perspective. You look at this game coming up, and a lot of question marks. Kansas City's starters did not play almost anything against Pittsburgh. They played two drives, which is not the way Andy Reid has done it. So I would expect that you're going to see a healthy dose of the starters this week.
It's going to be a fun one as the starters play most of the first half. More crossover 49ers Chiefs coming up. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is super easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get up to $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, and $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. I think the 49ers really have to treat this, and I think it's going to be the first half. DeForest Buckner is going to play the first half. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play the first half. And obviously, if Garoppolo's out there, they're going to have the number one offensive line in there the whole time he's in there. Even the number one line didn't look great last week anyway, but they're going to have the best guys they can blocking for Jimmy Garoppolo. But they need to treat the first half of this game when those guys are in there as much as a regular season game as possible, because they did not look like they were anywhere near regular season shape. And why would they be? Because the starters sat completely in week one, played a couple of series in week two of the preseason, and teams are practicing less hours, less reps in practice and training camp, playing their starters less often in the preseason. So at some point, you've got to get your guys ready. And so I'm worried around the league, we're going to see some pretty ugly football in week one.
Yeah, you definitely could. And it wouldn't surprise me if you do, because like you said, less practice time, less ability to hit people, less time in pads. The preseason games are becoming something where you're seeing all the, you know, second and third teamers play three quarters of the game in just about all the games. So, you know, I definitely see your point, and that is a great question. You know, the big thing is, and this is going to be a key for all the teams in the league, I think, is if you can come out and you can actually have a great game plan and execute it week one, you have a great chance to get a win no matter who you're playing.
It's all about that marriage of coach and quarterback, and if you have that set, then it's about having people play sound football and, you know, just be sound everywhere else. And so many games, even the bad teams, lose so many close games. And so it's amazing how many games are within one score in the NFL. I want to talk about the year two expectations for Patrick Mahomes. It's like, we've never seen this. What could this guy possibly do as an encore in his second year as a starter?
It's a great question, and I don't have a great answer for you. you look at what his first season meant as a starter. 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. It's never been done in the NFL, or almost never done in the NFL. Regardless, first year, it's never been done that way. So he was a phenomenal player his first year. I mean, you saw firsthand in the 49ers game. There's one specific play that still is probably in my top five from last year for him, where he started off, I think he took a step to the right, and then somebody was rushing him, so he ran back to the left, retreated another 5 or 6 yards, and came back right and hit Chris Conley in the corner of the end zone between three defenders.
Yeah, that was a maddening play from the 49ers perspective, and it was still early. That was week three, and so people didn't realize quite what Patrick Mahomes was yet, and you were like, wait a second, what the hell is going on here? Who is this guy? And
what did he just do?
It was such, and this for me, because I'm a big draft guy, and I know you guys are too. And for me, when Mahomes was coming out, that was the difficult part, because the physical skills were obvious and he would make crazy throws. And I was like, he can't do that in the NFL. Nobody does that. And, you know, coming from the air raid, and it's like, Texas Tech quarterback, and like, I don't know what to do with this guy. He's a first round talent, obviously, but where do you draft him? And so much credit goes to Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs for recognizing that and going for it and trading up to get that talent and say, you know what, we are going to even pass up on Deshaun Watson, who most people had as one of the top couple of quarterbacks. We're going to go get this guy and we're going to mold him into something. And they hit on it. And man, you got to take that chance. And they did it. And I think it really helped Patrick Mahomes to go somewhere with a coach like Andy Reid to really help that development, and we're seeing the fruits of it now.
Well, I think Andy Reid was a big part of Patrick Mahomes' development, but I think that Andy Reid has also said that Alex Smith is one of the biggest reasons that Patrick Mahomes is as successful as he is. And Andy Reid is on quote saying that Patrick Mahomes could buy him a castle and still probably wouldn't pay him back enough for everything that Alex taught him. And honestly, you look at what Alex Smith has been in his career, and you know. Yep. Following the 49ers, what he did there, he's always been a consummate professional. He wasn't like some of the QBs in the NFL that will not teach a backup. He took Mahomes under his wing and helped him with everything he possibly could. And you saw that come out in Mahomes' second season when he was a starter, because there's no way that he would have been able to read the defenses like he was reading them without Alex's help. So, you know, a big thanks to Alex Smith for his help for Mahomes, because that was a huge thing for his development as well. And then you look at the team that they've surrounded him with. I mean, he has Tyreek Hill, who's the fastest guy in the NFL. He's got Sammy Watkins, who isn't slow. And now they've given him another guy in Mecole Hardman that's just about as fast as Watkins is.
Yeah, I want to hear more about the rookie Mecole Hardman, because it sounded like he was the guy that was like, okay, well, let's try to get the thing we can find that's the closest to Tyreek Hill, because we're going to not have Tyreek Hill this year. Now Hill is back. Is Hardman still pushing for a big role on offense?
You know, I think that they didn't expect that he was going to have a great impact in year one. I think that they looked at him as being a guy that can come in and help, because honestly, I don't know that Sammy Watkins is going to be here in 2020. His contract being the way it is in Kansas City, needing the money, it's just going to be hard to keep him at his current contract number. When they drafted Hardman, they didn't know what was going to happen with Hill, and it may have been something where they looked at Hill and said, okay, well, we need to try to find some kind of replacement. But at the same time, Mecole Hardman's not Hill. He doesn't have the quickness and the burst that Hill does. He's very fast, and he has a great burst, but it's still not on par with Hill. But there is nobody that's on par with Hill. So I think that Hardman's going to have a bigger impact in the season, in the second half of the season, than he's going to have in the first half. But you start looking at what this Kansas City offense could look like and the speed that it's going to have on it. You're going to have Hill, Watkins, Hardman. It's starting to look like they're going to find a way to keep Tre'Mont Smith on the roster. And if they keep him on the roster, then you have a guy that could come out of the backfield with 4-3 speed. That's just a lot of speed. And then we haven't even talked about Travis Kelce yet. So good luck defending that, because I don't know how you're going to.
No, that's crazy. It's scary. And that's another aspect of it. So not only do you have that dynamic speed on offense and that outside speed, you can go down the field at will with a quarterback who can chuck it with anybody, but then you have that security blanket in Travis Kelce, and it just all comes together and is just a magical mix and well-coached. And so I don't know what Patrick Mahomes can do in his second year as a starter, but I'm all in on Mahomes. I've loved everything I've seen from him personality-wise, his mentality, his fearlessness, and of course his arm talent is crazy. So a little bit scared. Glad the 49ers aren't facing him in the regular season this year, and it's just the preseason game here. Talk to me about the Chiefs running game. Damien Williams, the starter there, but there's another guy that at risk of letting everybody know about my sleeper, Darwin Thompson here, that is really not much of a sleeper anymore with some of the waves he's making in Chiefs camp. Tell me about Darwin Thompson. How much of a role could he take from Damien Williams? And a familiar guy to the 49ers fans out there, Carlos Hyde. Has Darwin Thompson already leapfrogged Carlos Hyde on the depth chart?
You know, honestly, Ryan and I were talking about this for Friday's show. I'm not so sure that Darwin Thompson isn't going to push Carlos Hyde off the roster.
Oof.
And I'm not saying that Carlos Hyde shouldn't be on the roster. Well, actually, I am saying that. I don't think he should be. The way he's played, he doesn't look like he has the speed that he used to. He doesn't look like he has the power. He did not look good on against the Steelers, and he had a fumble, which is going to really hurt his stock. And then you have Darwin Thompson come in and play with the ones play with the twos. So our second string offensive line and second string offense, and they're still playing against Pittsburgh's starting unit and still getting yards. So yeah, Darwin Thompson is going to be something in this league, and that's a great point. I didn't even point out his speed. He's got speed too. And he's got great balance. I remember seeing in the first preseason game, I think he got hit by two or three different Bengals and just bounced off. They thought they were just going to hit him and knock him down because he's a small guy, and he just ran through it.
Yeah, he's got that. He's short, but I wouldn't even call him small. What, 5'8", 200 pounds, I think is what he's listed. But those guys with that low center of gravity and that powerhouse lower half, that they're small, but undersized is different at the running back position, and it's almost an advantage. I think of Maurice Jones-Drew. Remember seeing him put Sean Merriman on his butt as a pass protector, and it's just like, man, give me the shortest, widest running back you can find as long as they've got that athleticism.
Well, athleticism, and they're willing to work in that aspect,
right?
Because that's the big thing that will keep Thompson off the field with Kansas City, is that you can't put him in a passing situation right now and feel very comfortable having him take on a linebacker or a lineman coming in that somebody missed. It's just not a great situation right now. And that's something he can pick up, but it's going to be something that he's going to have to work on constantly in pass protection. If he can get to the point where he can do that, then that's a different aspect. But Kansas City, in the way they're going to use people this year, they might have Darwin Thompson and Damian Williams on the field at the same time. I mean, they have lots of different packages, and you start seeing. We saw a jet sweep action, and that was actually Mecole Hardman's first touchdown in the NFL against the Bengals. They showed that in the preseason. Andy Reid never shows anything in the preseason. I don't know what he's got saved for the regular season, but it's going to be fun to watch because he's always been innovative and he's always been bringing new wrinkles to the NFL.
And I wonder if having Patrick Mahomes now has given him a little level of confidence where he's like, yeah, we can mess around and really have some fun here. And I bet that's fun for an old coach that has really something set at quarterback and can kind of play around. We got to talk about the defensive side of the ball a little bit more with Chris Clark after this. What is the 49ers first unit going to be seeing here on Saturday? And we already talked about D Ford, and you think it was a good move. Has that been an upgrade for the Chiefs with Frank Clark instead of D Ford?
Oh, I think it's a huge upgrade, personally. I honestly just never felt Ford was going to fit the defense that they wanted to run. And for what, if they're not going to play him on first down, it changes his usage and his, in my perspective, a little bit. But Kansas City couldn't afford to have a guy that they were not going to be having play three downs. Frank Clark can stop the run. He's a great run defender. He can get after the passer. He's going to be playing next to Chris Jones. That's going to be a nightmare for defenses. And then you have a guy in Alex Okafor on the other side who Kansas City really likes, and he got a big sack last weekend against the Steelers, and he just came around the edge and just nailed the quarterback. And you're sitting there going, okay, well, he's going to be one-on-one most of the time because you can't double-team Frank Clark, Chris Jones, and Alex Okafor. So good luck with the offensive line trying to figure out how you're going to block all those guys.
It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you're going to attack the Chiefs, and this is the way it was last year, and they made some changes in the secondary, especially with bringing in Tyrann Mathieu there, what's the back half of the defense looking like for the Chiefs? Is that where teams might be able to attack Kansas City, whether it's linebackers or in the secondary?
You know, honestly, it does look like it could be an issue this season. It's going to be really hard for Kansas City to go from a 3-4 to a 4-3 and be successful right off the bat. You know, the linebackers are the big question mark for me right now. I think the secondary will take care of itself eventually. They have a very young guy in Chavarius Ward who they really like, but they also brought in Mo Claiborne, who I think will take some snaps at some point this season and jump up to maybe that number three role. They really like Kendall Fuller, although he struggled this preseason. Bashaud Breeland is another guy that they really like, and he's played very well during the preseason. So I think he's going to be a good addition this year for Kansas City, and he's just on a one-year deal as one of their corners. You know, a big addition that nobody's really talking about right now, but I think they'll be talking about by the end of the season, is going to be Juan Thornhill.
Yep.
That guy has been all over the field. He's been getting his hand on balls every day in practice, it seems. Picked off several. He's a ball hawk, and he hits. He's very quick. He had a great pass breakup against the Steelers on Saturday. He was 10 yards away when the quarterback threw the ball, and he just barely got his hand in there to break it up, but it was still a great play, and it just shows you the speed and his ability to get around the field.
Yeah, Juan Thornhill was a very popular player for 49ers draft Twitter this year, and I thought the 49ers would be eyeing him hard, and the Chiefs snatched him up just before the top of the third round there where the 49ers were drafting. Niners ended up taking Jalen Hurd, and I think Juan Thornhill might have been that pick for the 49ers. He played on Kyle Shanahan's squad at the Senior Bowl, and you know, just like their second round pick and Deebo Samuel did. So I love that selection. I don't know how long it's going to take for him to reach his ceiling, but his ceiling is absolutely huge with his athleticism, and I love the way he tracks the ball in the air as well. So big fan of Juan Thornhill.
I just want to say real quick, and then you pair him with a guy like Mathieu, and that's going to be a fun tandem to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. They can move around, and the instincts of Tyrann Mathieu hopefully can rub off on Juan Thornhill. And it's funny you mentioned Bashaud Breeland, and Breeland speaks. The Chiefs definitely lead the league in Breelands. I didn't even pick up on that until you mentioned it, and I was like, oh man, yeah. A lot of Breeland action over there in Kansas City.
Just a little confusing.
Oh, I can't imagine. I would screw that up every single episode that I tried to talk about those guys.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of funny. You sit there and you're like, oh, Bashaud Breeland or Breeland speaks, and yeah, it's been something just I've never seen two Breelands. So
I've never seen a single Breeland aside from those two ever. I've never met one. I've never heard of one.
Nor have I. I'm sure they're out there, but
yeah,
you know, you look at this defense and really, like I said, the question is going to be at the linebacker level. You know, can you know the bigger question that I have right now, and Ryan and I have discussed this ad nauseum, is Reggie Ragland going to be able to drop into the 10 to 15 yard deep zone, deep middle? And that's what he's going to have to be able to do as a middle linebacker in this defense. You have to be able to take out those routes. If you can't do that, that's going to be a severe hole and you're going to have to adjust somewhere else. I'm really surprised that he's going to be the middle linebacker. I would have expected that would have been Hitchens, but at this point, it looks like they're sticking with Reggie Ragland, and Hitchens is going to play, you know, the weak side linebacker role, and I think he'll be fine in that. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of question marks as to how that's going to play out this season, because right now it looks like it's not going so well, at least the preseason games when they're having cover people.
Yeah, I would think that you would take Ragland off the field and nickel and go with a couple other linebackers, because I'm looking at this depth chart and I'm thinking, okay, if I don't know, the 49ers aren't going to go into, you know, game plan mode, but I would think, okay, I'm throwing to running backs and I'm throwing to George Kittle all day. Like, that's how I would attack this defense.
Yeah, and it's possible that they will figure out that they have to replace Ragland on downs where they think that they're going to be passing deep middle of the field, or it's going to be more of a passing down. And maybe they'll put in Darren Lee because I think that he can do that role. Although they've been playing him mostly a weak side linebacker, so you'd have to move Hitchens to the middle of the field, which it's just a bunch of different people that are going to be in different positions than they were last year. And the thing that is encouraging about all of it is it looks like they are trying to put players into the best position for them and not asking them to do things that they're not capable of doing. Because I think that's one of the biggest things that Bob Sutton really struggled with, is he had his defense and he was going to run it regardless of whether or not you fit it or not.
Before we go here, I want to ask you about, and we'll sort of circle back with the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff, I want to ask you about that Kansas City turf. Is that something, and I've heard some whispers about it after the Garoppolo injury, and I didn't know if that was a situation where people were just like mad, because like, stupid, it was the turf's fault that Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. Has there been a prevalent amount of injuries specifically in Kansas City?
Not that I've seen. I think that's just people being mad because Garoppolo got hurt. You know, I think there's injuries all over the NFL, and it's unfortunate. I hated seeing it last year. You know, and Kansas City just lost a player to an ACL, MCL in Pittsburgh. You know, Marcus Kemp went out for the year with an ACL and MCL tear in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I think it happens anywhere. I don't think that Kansas City's really had a history of having more of those types of injuries there. I would think that, you know, places like Oakland would really be one of the bigger places that you would deal with injuries, and that's why I always hate going to Oakland once a year.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking it'd be hilarious if in Las Vegas, their new field, they put the dirt baseball infield in just to make them feel like they're playing at home.
Yeah, no, I really hope they don't take your advice on that one.
That is Chris Clark. He's the co-host of Locked On Chiefs along with Ryan Tracy. Chris, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it, and I hope everyone stays healthy.
Yeah, that's the best thing about preseason, is if you can get through the game with full health. Thank you very much, Brian. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. And we'll break it all down for you Monday right here, Locked On 49ers.